Welcome to Time from the Word of God in the Bible from Daleville Christian Church. There are several scriptures that speak to the trustworthiness of God's Word for you. If we listen deeply, these ancient words will speak truth to your life. We have an affirmation of our faith that we share each time together. This one, I'm guessing this time, from Ephesians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. The reading of God's Word for today is from Matthew's Gospel in the 8th chapter, verses 5 through 13. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. A centurion is a rank for someone in the Roman army, probably comparable to the rank of captain in today's armed forces. A centurion came to Jesus asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go. It will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I am certain that we have looked at this report from Matthew's gospel in God's word before today. However, it's possible that we missed some important points that are being made in this report. It's easy to miss these points if I have missed these points before, but that is why we keep reading the Bible. There are many facets to a diamond. They are all beautiful. So it is with the Bible. But we might miss some things because the Bible diamond is 2,000 years old. And we are not. It's easy for Americans to miss something in these reports because there is a healing and Jesus mentions faith as a key. Typically, Americans focus on the healing and not on the faith. Jesus, the Bible states, upon hearing the centurion, a Roman pagan soldier, speak, the Bible says when Jesus heard it, Jesus marveled. The New International Version says he was astonished. The English word marvel is related to marvelous. This pagan's faith in the true God was marvelous, to be marveled at. The Greek word means to be filled with wonder. So it could be said that the pagan Roman's faith in the true God was wonderful, the very meaning of the word. Wonderful. Typically, Americans usually want to quantify the Roman centurion's faith, saying things like, oh, he had a lot of faith. But that's an American fixation. Bigger is better. Saying things like having more faith gets results or gets better results. I've heard preachers and commentators say that. And yes, they were American. So look, first of all, the man is a Roman pagan idol worshiper. Or at least, if we were allowed to profile the man, that is what we would expect from a Roman soldier who holds the equivalent rank of an army captain, a centurion. A pagan, idol-worshipping soldier. In Matthew's Gospel, Matthew recorded another encounter of Jesus' with a pagan, a woman from Canaan. She also would have been a pagan idol worshiper. She and Jesus did some verbal sparring. The woman came to Jesus because of her daughter's need for healing by exorcism. Jesus stated that Jesus' first responsibility was to the house of Israel, of which she was not. The woman does not disagree. However, the woman stated that although meals were not intended for pets, food that falls from the table is enjoyed by the pets. The woman implied she was only seeking crumbs from Jesus. Now the woman had called to Jesus saying, Lord, Son of David. The woman used the title for the Messiah and called Jesus Lord, another title. The woman did not call Jesus a teacher or rabbi, but Lord, Son of David. So the woman's faith is quite deep, especially given that no one could expect the woman to have any faith in the Jews' Messiah at all. But the woman does have faith in the Jews' Messiah. In today's reading of God's Word with the pagan Roman captain, Matthew recorded that Jesus marveled at the faith that Jesus heard coming from the pagan man's mouth. And Jesus said, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel yet with such great faith. And typically, Americans focus on the idea of having faith that Jesus can and will heal the servant of the centurion soldier. And faith in Jesus as healer is part of the picture. But in focusing on the healing, we miss other points of faith. The centurion observed that Jesus was a man with power, just as he, the centurion, had power. The pagan had faith that the power Jesus had was a divine power, not the power of the devil, an accusation that other Jewish leaders had made against Jesus. The centurion respected the practice of Jesus' people with regard to ritual cleanliness. So while wanting to request a healing for the servant back at the house, the centurion respected that he could not ask a Jewish rabbi to violate the common practice of holiness in being in a pagan's house. The centurion was technically not asking for anything for himself. It was the captain's servant who was suffering terribly. So the Roman army captain demonstrated compassion. The centurion, while acknowledging Jesus as a person with authority, spiritual authority, not political authority, not economic authority, not military authority, but an authority in the realms of God. And the centurion would also have to have faith that this man of God's authority had come to serve people, not to be served. Most Romans in positions of authority expected to be served by others, even to lord it over others. This pagan army man is prepared to believe in a servant Messiah. And this is only chapter 8 of Matthew. Jesus' mission was just getting underway, but already a pagan, unfamiliar with the Bible, unfamiliar with prophecy, probably never heard or read the words of the prophet Isaiah, still this pagan was prepared to believe that the mission of this God messenger, Jesus, was to help people, Jew or Gentile. Jesus stood in awe at the army captain's words. Again, we see where we often miss the point. Believing in Jesus as healer is only one aspect of faith. Jesus didn't heal people just because they believed Jesus could heal. Jesus healed people who more often claimed to know who Jesus was, that Jesus was the Messiah, and that the Messiah had come just as Jesus proclaimed, to proclaim good news to the poor and to the poor in spirit, to bring light to the eyes that knew only darkness, to free those imprisoned by whatever forces held them, to save people from their sins, even to mend broken hearts. And Jesus would accomplish these deeds anywhere faith was found. And to further endorse that part of the message Matthew recorded for his Jewish congregation, Jesus' words, "I say to you, many will come from the east and the west, north and south, and take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." That was radical. The enemies were of Israel. Were to the east and west, north and south. But they would be welcomed at the Messiah's feast if they have faith like this pagan Roman army captain, one of Israel's enemies, for the Romans had conquered the Jewish people. And Jesus went on to say, "Of those who considered themselves sons of Abraham by birth, and therefore by birthright." Verse 12, "But the subjects of the kingdom," that is God's people, or those who consider themselves God's people, the people who were to be the original heirs of God, the ones who claimed a birthright to be heirs because they were sons of Abraham. But Jesus added, "They will be thrown outside into the darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And why will that be so? Because they did not have the same faith in Jesus as Messiah, as a servant of God, and as a servant for God's people. I would like to take a moment to explain this judgment that Jesus anticipated for the faithless. I want to do so because in Matthew's gospel, Jesus said it four times. Four times. The judgment is based on the blessings that the blessed ones of God will receive after the judgment day. After the judgment day, the saints, that is the believers, the true followers of Jesus, will no more mourn or cry any longer. The prophet Isaiah stated that God himself would wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people would be taken away, Isaiah chapter 25. It's the opposite with the faithless, the unrepentant, the unbelievers. They will grit their teeth in anger. And they will weep. But the Lord will not be present to wipe the tears away or to offer any consolation. The darkness is hell. And let me explain how and why. Although we often speak of the fires of hell, first of all, in hell there is no presence of God. God will be the presence of light in the new heaven and the new earth, so says the book of Revelation chapter 21. Revelation even says that the unbelievers and the scoffers will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Sulfur burns, but it burns blue. So there won't be much light from burning sulfur. Brimstone in the Bible is another word for sulfur. Brimstone is found near active volcanoes, which may burn red with other substances in the molten rock. But with brimstone only, the flame will be blue. Jesus said they will be thrown outside. That is, outside the fellowship of God and outside the fellowship of God's people. In the other places in Matthew, Jesus mentions the faithless to be tied hand and foot, which would mean that they would be powerless to get out of the place to which they have been thrown outside. That is the fate of the unbelievers. The believers are those who have faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Faith in Jesus as one who cares. Faith in a Messiah that cares for the brokenhearted, the blind, in whatever kind of blindness they suffer, those prisoners of demons or illness or mental illness, to believe in a Messiah who has come not to rid us of our enemies, but a Messiah who has come to serve and will even serve some of our enemies if they too have faith. If even our enemies know who Jesus is and respond to Jesus with faith and believing that Jesus has come for them, such faith, Jesus said, I have yet to see in all Israel. Friends, I hope that you can count yourselves among the faithful to believe that our God has come in Jesus to help those of us who are unable to help ourselves, who turn to Jesus crying for mercy, we who can admit our poverty of spirit so that our Savior might bless us with the riches of spiritual blessing, a treasure kept in heaven for us. And friends, I hope that your eyes are open to the neighbors whom you cannot count today as believers and faithful, but who will yet become followers of Jesus, Messiah. The sheep that Jesus has that are not of this fold today, are not of any fold of Jesus' sheep today, but these sheep will hear Jesus' voice and they will follow Jesus. And may your eyes see that they may come from places and people unexpected, because nothing is impossible with God. Then you will indeed be among the faithful, full of faith in God's Messiah Jesus for our salvation and the reconciliation of the world to our God forever and ever. Amen.